This is the Brandt and Sherry podcast, sponsored by Metashare. For more info about the show or about Brandt's book, Unoffendable, check out BrantHansen.com.
So it's already started in the presidential election. I have to catch myself and think, wait a second, it's not this November. It's a year from November.
You wouldn't know by the all the hoopla over it.
Oh, my goodness. I like history. I'm interested in politics and culture and all that stuff. But I can tell you what, we're not going to talk about politics a lot on this show, if at all. And it's not because it doesn't matter, or not because we're not aware of the world or this debate or that issue or that candidate or whatever. It's just because you can hear that anywhere else. Where do you hear anything different? Where it's a totally different worldview, like where it's about our own struggles and what we have to work on and look at why we're here, how God loves us, all of that sort of stuff. To me, those are the biggest issues, period. The other stuff comes and goes. Mm. But the big issue is always, okay, does God love me? What does he want me to do? Why am I here? All that sort of stuff. We'll talk about that stuff and just general struggles and then the general silliness of life. But you can hear all that other stuff in the horse race journalism anywhere. And this guy said that and she said this. And yeah, boy. Anyway, that's great. They want to do it. Have at it. But we're going to do something a little different here. Was thinking, and maybe this is crazy, I don't know, but I was thinking that we could all move into 50 Cent's mansion. He's leaving it. He's having a hard time making ends meet. He wants to rent it out for $67,000 a month, and that's high.
It is. I'm glad we can acknowledge
more
that.
More than I pay
right now
in
currently.
2 months.
Okay.
It's more. It is. So what I was thinking is that we get a bunch of people who are listening to the show, and us, and we all rent it out. There's tons of room in there, and I think it could work out pretty awesome.
How much would that be a person?
$600 or $700 per family.
Okay.
And how many families are we doing?
I don't know, like 100.
Okay, what do you think, Kirsten?
Are there 100 rooms?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but yeah. There's 50,000 square feet. It's huge.
Do we all have to wear our uniforms?
Yep. Yeah, and I'll put up a chore schedule.
Oh, will you now?
To keep everybody rotating.
Okay.
Rotating through there.
I think I'm going to have to tap out of this.
Nope. You're actually on the kitchen thing the first month.
The first month.
Yeah.
The first month.
She's on breakfast duty.
Yeah.
Everybody. It's gonna be fun.
It's financially feasible. It makes sense. You'll have enough extra space after all the 100 people move in. There's plenty of room to be able to do other things.
Oh yeah, there's actually a dance floor. There's a dance floor and a DJ thing. Yeah.
The DJ doesn't come with the mansion.
No, but you can make sure that one of the 100 tenants that ends up coming into the deal with you is a DJ.
Right.
And then you got a DJ for free.
Well, hey, I don't know if you guys remember something, but I'm a DJ. So. A lot of people don't try because they're afraid to fail. I mean, that happens to a lot of us. Rich Mullen said something that was so brilliant, though, about God. And how he frees you up to try to do things in life. And here's what he said. He said, trusting God means you don't have to be great. I mean, he's great. You can trust him. It doesn't all ride or fall with you. And that means that you are free to fail because you don't have to be great. And if you're free to fail, you're free to try stuff. People occasionally ask me for organizational tips, and I have one, how to get to inbox zero.
Okay.
So that you can get rid of all the stuff. You might have thousands of messages in your inbox.
Mm-hmm. And you have a tip on this?
Yeah, I've given this before. People ask me, hey, what was that tip? Because apparently they weren't listening before. It didn't matter. Now they're like, hey.
Okay.
Here's what I do. I make a folder. Mm-hmm. It's an organizational system. I call it a miscellaneous folder.
Got it.
Then I highlight all the stuff in my inbox, put it in that folder. Inbox is down to zero.
Uh-huh.
Totally organized.
Great. So with the miscellaneous folder, what do you do with that, with all the unread emails?
Eventually, when I get a new computer or I get fired or quit or whatever, it goes. I don't know where it goes, but I don't have to mess with it anymore. That's the point. Is it okay to have doubts about God or even to doubt God? I think so. But you know what? Well, I'm sure. because I've seen the way he treats people who doubt him when it's honest doubt. But there is a thing called dishonest doubt, I really believe, where it's like, you don't really want an answer. I mean, we've done this before, right? You've probably done it. I've done it. I doubt this, but we're not really genuinely wanting an answer. But there's this thing called honest doubt, and it's so great how God treats people with it. He understands we're human. He understands we can be double-minded about so many things. Look, that's not just you. That's me too. All the time. Like, I believe, but struggle with it. He is so patient and so good, and Jesus models that with people. But that's the honest doubt. The dishonest doubt, like, if you're not really wanting an answer, you're not really doubting, are you? I mean, you've got an opinion is what you got. You know, this is true. I mean, I've run into this for a long time. I'm a Christian. I am a professing believer in God and Jesus. I believe Jesus rose from the dead. Yes, that's supernatural. A lot of people are like, I can't believe that. It's not true. It didn't happen. Don't believe in supernatural things. What's interesting about this is those people are generally called by themselves free thinkers. Mm-hmm. We get to think freely. You're closed-minded. Now, think about that for a second. Now, I'm just, who am I? Just some guy, but think about this. So the person who has decided, who can't possibly know, but has decided that nothing supernatural ever happens, it's all explained by matter and energy and physics. Mm-hmm. That person who somehow knows that is a free thinker. But the person who leaves open the possibility that miracles do happen, mm-hmm. that there is a God, that person's closed-minded.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Isn't that mm-hmm. kind of ironic?
Yeah, it is.
So the person who has concluded, again, without evidence, that person's a free thinker, but those of us who leave open the possibility for this sort of thing is, we're the closed-minded ones. It probably isn't true. There's probably a humility that has to happen before you can even look at anything like this. A friend of mine just had a big garage sale. Mm-hmm. I remember doing this as a kid. He's like, the weirdest thing happened. My kids came out. This is all their stuff mm-hmm. and our stuff. He said, my kids came out with their money and started buying stuff.
Stuff that their parents had determined needed right. to be given
or
away.
Or the other yeah. kid is get like, right. they just start going. I remember doing that as a kid. Our family would have a garage. They like go out there and start buying stuff.
Buying your brother's stuff. I'll take that for $2. Yes, I will.
They're like, Brant, that's yours. You put that up for, oh, no wonder I liked it. It just seemed like right up my alley, interest-wise. You will hear us from time to time talking about MediShare, and they sponsor our podcast, and you may be like, is that really work? Yes. The nation's largest healthcare provider network accepts MediShare. They get it. It's growing. And what it is, it's a not-for-profit. Mm-hmm. It's people coming together as a community of believers to help pay for each other's health plans.
Which is amazing. When I first heard about this, I was like, oh my goodness, I wish I would have known about this when I was unemployed, because it is so much more affordable, and it's covered under the current healthcare law. So that was the first question I asked. Yep. Okay, if I get this, does that mean that I'm still going to have to pay a penalty? And the answer is no.
And you can enroll anytime.
Yeah.
So it's maybe a beautiful solution for you if you have problems with your health plan or you don't have one. You're like, how can I do this? It can be a lot cheaper. And a lot of people who are in are just like, this is the best. We actually pray for the people that month whom we're supposed to send our money to, because mm-hmm. we know there's a list of needs. Go to biblicalhealthcare.com. This could wind up saving you hundreds of dollars a month as an alternative to health insurance. Phone number is 855-772-5699, 855-772-5699, or biblicalhealthcare.com. Good news. I found a website that's going to fix all of our problems. By our, I mean me, okay. anybody else who's awkward uh-huh. socially.
Okay.
The website is called succeedsocially.com.
That sounds promising.
I've been reading it. I hope no controversial anybody sponsors it or made it, but it's been really helpful.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just stuff like how to talk to people. Okay. At work or whatever, and apparently you're supposed to go up when you get to work. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to go up to people, and then
that go up seems really aggressive. You mean just go up?
Mm-hmm. Chit chat.
Okay. You're
supposed to go up to them, chit chat with them.
Yeah.
Say something complimentary.
Oh, okay.
If you see someone you know, don't avoid them. Go up and chit-chat for a few minutes. Find something to compliment. I think you're funny or an interesting person.
Thank you, Bran. I appreciate that.
And again, moderation is essential. It says, that way I don't go too far with it.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank
you. Yeah, this website's called succeedsocially.com. I've been mm-hmm. learning reading about this. You know what? I'm actually pretty good at this already. This part right here.
What is it?
It says, make sure everyone's having a good time when you're out. And it said to be aware of people who aren't involved in the conversation. I'm almost hyper aware.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to make sure. And it says to change the subject to something, a topic area that they're... I do that.
Okay. So, well, how would you... Well, no, how just, would you know what they would want to talk about?
Well, if there's some... If I know the person.
Okay.
And I, like, he collects baseball cards.
Okay.
I'll change the subject.
To baseball cards.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he'll feel, oh, hey, do you find mm-hmm. other things to involve these other people?
Okay.
So I'm already doing good on this.
Are you? Because I remember a time us going out to eat,
uh-huh.
and you talked about how many people are killed by lightning for a really, really long time.
I thought everybody was having a good time with that. So that was... I got the feedback that I felt was that everybody was having a good time with it.
So, you may have been just a little off on that. Yeah, just a little.
Actually, after a while, I was like, okay, I think that no more lightning death stories. So, yeah, good point. Good point. True scientific fact. They studied people who were looking at a political candidate in a newspaper,
mm-hmm.
and they had them nod their heads up and down while they were reading. And okay. then they had other people nod their heads back and forth while they were reading. So shaking their heads.
Mm-hmm.
The people, then they tested them afterward. The people who were nodding their heads up and down, that they were instructed to do that, mm-hmm. had a much more positive impression of the candidate than the people who were shaking their heads back and forth.
That makes sense.
Because you're physically sometimes helps determine your mood.
Okay.
With that in mind, bam. This is our...
That's where we were going with that.
Yeah, this is okay. our Monday traditional song. Just tap your feet, clap your hands, sing along, do something physical.
Nod your head, perhaps.
Yeah, it'll help your mood. It lifts it up. David Crowder Band, it's called I Saw the Light. Great song.
Here we go. So aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Here we go. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
I saw the light. I saw the light, no more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
It's already feeling better now, you gotta tap your foot. Woo!
I've walked in darkness and clouds covered me. I had no idea where the way out could be. Then came the sunrise and rolled back the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered alone. Worries and fears I claim for. Like a blind man, I gotta get back inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Hello. Love the fiddle.
I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Oh yeah, it works every time. A Monday hoedown.
Love it.
Not sure what you're going through right now. But it may be something that you just do not understand. You may be asking God, if you believe in God, like, God, why are you doing this? How is this possible? I love what Jesus actually said to one of his best friends, to Peter, when Peter was asking a similar question. What are you doing? Jesus replied, this is in John 13, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. I love that. So he recognizes, yeah, I know, you don't get it. Can't even explain it to you, really. Your head might explode if you knew all that I know, but... later, you will understand. I love that promise from a God whose promises I've seen before, he just keeps them. And he says, later you'll understand.
Hey, what's up? My name is Brant, and producer Sherry is here too. And this might freak you out, but I study everybody who likes our Facebook page. We have a show page. It's just Brant Hansen page on Facebook. Brant Hansen page. Click like. You keep up with stuff that's going on the show. And...
and you're studied by Brant.
Yeah, I'll study.
Mm-hmm.
So I know your pets, interest areas, everything.
And yeah,
so I feel like it brings us together as friends.
Before you like, maybe you'll tighten up your privacy settings and then hit like on our
page.
If
you want to thwart your friends. But that doesn't seem to me to be the point of Facebook. It would be to thwart friendship. That's just me. Yeah, I know. A lot of us look at what people are wearing to try to figure them out.
Like, mm-hmm.
What kind of shoes are they wearing? What does that say about this person? I don't. That's just not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't really pat myself on the back for it because I just have other stuff that I try to size people up with. And I realize it's this. Here's my thing. Mm-hmm. It's books. If I see somebody has books
okay.
on their desk, at their place, wherever, we're in somebody's house.
My and you're sizing like, them up by the books.
Yeah.
Okay.
My wife's like, you just walked right straight over to the books and started like, I know. Do you do this?
Yes, I do.
Interesting.
Wow.
I do. And I even take it a step further. If I'm at a bookstore and, you know, people are picking up a certain type of book, I perhaps will think about something regarding the book.
That's
something.
A great way to say I'll have some musings on the titles that they have in their
yes.
hands. Mm-hmm.
I realize I do this, and every once in a while I'll catch myself, but it's a struggle.
That's amazing. I have never done that.
You know, it used to be back in the day, people would go to a bricks and mortar store to actually get movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember assessing people
when they
in
have
line.
A stack of Adam Sandler
yeah,
movies,
like,
and you're like, okay.
Tell us, say no more.
I don't go to too many people's houses, so I don't think, I don't look at their books.
Okay.
I don't get invited to too many people's houses.
I understand that. I probably yeah. have been in, honestly, about a house a year.
A house a year?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, probably about that. But I do. I find myself staring.
At their books.
In fact, some good friends, we visited their house, and I was so enraptured by one of their coffee table books that had maps in it. They just gave it to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think they wanted me to rejoin the conversation or something.
They're like, we're going to take the book away from you.
Look, we'll send it home with you. Would you look up? Now, you may be listening to this radio station as somebody who is a believer in Jesus or somebody who's not or somebody who's resolutely against it. Or there's just people all across the spectrum. But if you're new to it and you're open to following Jesus, there are so many things that can be confusing that people will throw at you. Like, you need to do this, you need to do this other thing. And they're all good things. But one thing that's not like just a thing is this, forgiving people. You have to. This isn't a side issue. This is the essence of following Jesus. He himself was perfect. He didn't do anything wrong. He was executed for our sins. God looks at us, and we've done inexcusable things. Things that you just can't make excuses for, and he still forgives us. And if we're going to have the same mind like him, and he was truly above us, I mean, truly God himself, and he lowered himself to become like us, we have to have that same kind of mind to love people who try our patience and who don't deserve forgiveness. They don't deserve it. But it's not about them. It's because God deserves it. Look what he's done for us. That's not a side issue. That's a big part of just the essence of being humble enough to follow Jesus. We have to do that.
I met someone the other day that said they played basketball with you.
Huh.
You play basketball every week about, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Occasionally.
It was a female.
Yeah, we had a woman play this
yes,
last week.
And she said she had a good time, but you kept calling foul on her.
What?
And that the calls were very questionable. Now, I'm telling you what she told me. Yeah.
Fouled hard.
She thinks that maybe you were being These are my words, not hers. She thought maybe you were being a baby. Now that's my word, not hers.
She was slapping me in the face.
Okay.
And of course I'm gonna call it.
that
was consistent. Plus that one time I was going to the hoop and she wasn't set.
Mm-hmm.
And so I picked her up off the ground and I was like, that was a blocking foul.
And
okay, yeah. So yeah, sounds like you're concrete
and
on
she
what
was
you
like,
thought.
I don't think it was. So I called the technical on her, and it's one of the, and I'm going to talk to the legal office about it, which I'm actually the legal officer. But,
okay,
but
you're going to handle this.
There may be a suspension.
Okay, well, it sounds fair.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. The Brad and Sherry podcast is sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about MediShare, call 855-772-5699.